Take your Bibles, if you will. Let's go to Matthew 13, verse 44 through 46. Kathy and, again, Kenny, KT is going to be leaving right after the message. And so Wanda will be playing the invitation, okay? And so we appreciate that. We've been going through the parables of the kingdom. And tonight we're going to look at the treasure hidden in the field and the goodly pearls. They both, we'll examine both of these tonight. Then next week, or whenever I got the opportunity again, we'll finish the kingdom parables with the last two, the dragnet and the householder. Now, remember, the context is the same for all of these parables. And let's go ahead and read these two right here, beginning in verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for a joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one, pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Father, I pray tonight as we open these scriptures here, you open our hearts, that we'll put these two parables in their context and rightly divide the word of God and make the application here in a few moments. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Again, the context is the kingdom parables, beginning in chapter 13, verses 3 through 50. Jesus deals with the way to the kingdom, from entering the kingdom with the sowing of the seed all the way to the dragnet. He takes us on a journey about the growth of the kingdom in this church age that we're living in. We enter by hearing the gospel and believing. That's the parable of the sower. And go to the kingdom of heaven. That's the parable of the dragnet. Now, these eight parables also teach the growth of the kingdom as these parables progress. At the same time, there's a corrupting influence invading the kingdom of God. And we looked at that with the mustard seed and the leaven. We've seen all through the years since the church was birthed that there is false teachers and cults that have come in and called themselves part of the church, but they're not part of the church. And God will separate that one day. Remember the outline by Warren Wiersbe of these parables, the beginning of the kingdom, that's the parable of the sower and the souls. The opposition to the kingdom, that's the wheat and the tares, the mustard seed and the leaven, all speak of evil influence. And then the outcome of the kingdom, we're looking at the first two tonight, the treasure and the pearl, and then next week, the dragnet and the householder. So let's look, first of all, at the treasure and the pearl. Now, they both have basically the same context, but and really the same explanation, if you will. Again, let's look at the parable of the treasure hidden in the field. Some say the man and the merchant man represent Jesus, finding a pearl, which is a church, and the treasure is Israel. But I don't take that view, okay? I'll keep it in its context. Of all eight of these parables, being the kingdom of God. I don't think it says anything here about Israel, and we'll comment on that in just a moment. So remember, we've been looking at the growth of the kingdom. Now we come to two parables that tell us the value of the kingdom. Amen. The value of the kingdom, okay? And this parable, the hidden treasure, the merchant man seeking goodly pearls, they have the same theme as the preciousness and the value of the kingdom. Both picture the kingdom as something hidden from most people, right? He's not here teaching that the salvation message is hidden and people can't believe. He's talking about the kingdom, and it's for the kingdom folks, and it's hidden to those who are not seeking the kingdom. And that's what he's talking about right here. So valuable, they're willing to give up all that they have to possess it. These parables are not teaching that you got to buy salvation, right? We know that's not true. Our money don't get us nowhere when it comes to God. And so the point of the parable is, seems to me, that the kingdom is priceless and one must obtain it at all cost. We ought to value the kingdom. D.A. Carson says, those who know where the treasure lies joyfully abandon everything else to secure it. William Hendrickson said, the treasure is so precious that one who obtains it is willing to surrender for it whatever could interfere with having it, right? That's what Jesus meant when he says, if a man's going to follow after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Amen. The crucified life, right? Yes. A lot of us are not living that, right? The crucified life. Die to everything else except Christ, right? And we're not living that. He goes on to say, William Hendrickson says, we should grasp its one important lesson, the preciousness of the kingdom for those who discover it and obtain possession of it without even looking for it. Now, these two parables do not suggest that we can buy or earn our salvation. We know that's not true. Salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone, right? But not a salvation that is alone. It's accompanied by works that demonstrate that we have been redeemed. Remember, we're justified before God by faith, Paul said. And James says we're justified before fellow man by our works. They see that we have fruit in our life and give evidence of our salvation. But salvation is a free gift. Amen. And, you know, I guess that's why so many people stumble over it, right? They stumble over it. I got to earn it. I got to do something about it. I'm somebody, and God's going to want me. He's going to want my money. He's going to want this. He's going to want me. And they miss the whole message of grace through, you know, salvation by grace through faith. So we obtain it by grace through faith. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, we must believe that God is, right? It also tells us in John 14:1, remember that? Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me, right? And the only way you're going to get in the kingdom is by confessing your sins and believing in the atoning work of Jesus Christ. And we enter the kingdom. We're in the kingdom, folks. We are in the spiritual kingdom today. But one day Christ is coming back, second coming, and he's going to set up a literal kingdom for the nation of Israel. Right. That's the 1,000-year millennial reign is not for us, it's for Israel. Right. 1/3 of them will enter that kingdom. And we're going to be doing whatever God wants us to do during the millennium. And that's why we need to be faithful now, so we'll have responsibilities when we get to the millennium. Now you say, well, I don't want to do nothing now. Well, you're not going to have nothing to do in the millennium, okay? Right? I mean, it's very simple. So it's a free gift. We obtain it by grace through faith. So this parable describes how people react to the kingdom. Do we see it as valuable? And that's the application. Again, I'm not going to keep you long. We've got conference tonight, and I want to let these dear folks go to a fish fry, but we paid you, and we want you to stay for the message. Right? Okay. Look at the application. How do you value the kingdom? Are you willing to pay the full price to obtain the treasure of the kingdom? Right? Oh, we'll work ourselves off for a 401k, and we'll do this, and we'll do that, and we'll buy our cars, we'll buy our homes, we'll buy our swimming pools, whatever, nothing wrong with those, unless they take precedent over your service and devotion to God, right? I mean, what are you willing to do to obtain the kingdom, is what he's saying. The price of repentance. Are you willing to pay the price of repentance? Or saying, God, I'm a sinner. God, I have sinned, and I can't save myself. In my flesh, there is no good thing. My flesh is, I can't save anything. I'm dead spiritually. I'm unable to know you except for the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit that makes you known to me, right? So your flesh is no good thing. The flesh is not your friend. It's one of your three enemies, right? Satan, right? The flesh, right? And what's the other one? The world, right? And it's amazing to me how many in the body of Christ are friends with the world, friends with Satan, and friends with the flesh. And it's not ought not be so. Are you willing to pay the price of repentance? Are you willing to pay the price of complete submission to the will of God? Christ, I don't know. God, I don't know what you have for me, but whatever it is, I'm willing to do it. You know, it always amazes me about missionaries. As our missionaries come our way and they talk about how they sold everything they own and their house and everything, and they go off to a far country and they live like the people live there, right? There's got to be a special call on you to take your children to Africa. Amen? Right? And you know, they're the happiest people in the world because they're doing what God called them to do, right? A complete submission to the will of God. Deny self, take up your cross daily, and follow me. See, that's the way we ought to give the gospel invitation. Do you want to follow Christ, right? Or do you want Christ in your heart, and then you want to serve him when you can, when it's convenient? Or do you want to totally give your life to him, right? That's what the commit calls for, the price of putting the kingdom first in our life. It's called The Crucified Life. I preached it here before, and I'll continue to preach it till the day of the rapture or the day I die, and I hope the man behind me will preach that, right? Amen. The Crucified Life. It's not about you, it's about him, right? Amen. That's why they call our red book. What do they call our red book we sing out of? A hymn book, right? It's all about him, right? That's why we love to sing the hymns that are about him. We don't sing these little 7-Eleven jingles, you know. They don't get you nowhere biblically. They don't do nothing except satisfy your flesh. And that's why we like the hymn book, right? Now, I want everybody to turn to this one verse. I'm going to get you out early. You're going to be so surprised. I'll be like Trump now. You're going to be so surprised. We're going to always win right here. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. One verse I want you to look at. Remember, these two parables are about how we value the kingdom. Keep that thought. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:33, after he got to talking about taking care of the birds and the lilies of the field, taking care of our desires, I mean, not our wants and desires, but our needs, right? He'll take care of those. But then he says this, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, he's not giving a call to salvation here. He's talking to believers who are to, what? Seek God, seek the kingdom and his righteousness, to grow in Christ's likeness, right? And that's what he's talking about here. All these things will be added to you, all and all things. What he talked about in Matthew chapter 6, food, shelter, and clothing will all be added to you. But we can't be satisfied with that. So in closing tonight, I want to ask you a question. What do you seek first in your life? What do you seek first in your life? You realize this, that our choices and our actions give us away, right? Your checkbook will give you away and expose what you really value the most. I mean, I can't say it no better than Scripture. What do you value the most? What do you seek first in this life? See, for too long in the church, fell into this whole drum attitude that we can do what we want to, but we just come to church on Sunday and give God, you know, whatever we want to give him, and then we go back and we don't seek him no more, right? We don't seek for his righteousness. It's part-time Christianity. It's departmentalizing Christianity. He doesn't consume our life. He's just got a room in our house, but not the whole house, right? Are you following me? So this is the point of these two parables. How do you value the kingdom? And I'm telling you what, if we really got a glimpse of what it means to be in the kingdom of God, everything would change about our life. It would. It would. Now, when we come together again, Brother Robert's preaching next Sunday night. I'm preaching Father's Day morning. But we're going to talk about in a couple weeks, the dragnet and householder. Then we're going to go into chapter 14, one of my favorite chapters, the death of John the Baptist. And I'm also going to entitle it chapter 14, 1 through 12, you can kill the messenger, but you can't kill the message. Amen? You can't kill the message. Father, have your way in this invitation as Miss Wanda comes. And Lord, as we go into conference after this, Lord, I pray that your will be done. And I pray tonight, Father, whatever's on the heart here, what do you value the most? If you value anything else above and beyond the kingdom of God, you're on the wrong track. So, Father, tonight I pray you've spoken to hearts through your word. And I pray, Father, that your people will be convicted and will respond accordingly. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.